The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
There was a list on MLB Network of potential Astros managers. Dusty Baker, Jeff Banister, your boy Joe Espada, John Gibbons, Raul Ibanez, Buck Showalter, and Will Venable on the list.
My choices of those, well, I would say Banister or Espada, who's already been there. So that would be, if I were picking one, probably. Dallas Keuchel in the news today, I see.
Yeah, I think he's the first who basically has apologized for the role he played in it. I think it's smart of him not to make it seem like Mike Fiers was the only one who did wrong in this thing. Honestly, what I heard of what Dallas had to say, he handled it really well.
And one of the other things he said, that it's just what the state of baseball was at that point in time. Was it against the rules? Yes, it was. And personally, I'm sorry for what's come about. I think he handled it well.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN. That's 3776 if you wish to text the show. You can also get us on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Tyler Drew Scott, at Degenerates975. And if you missed the first 2 hours, that's some of what you missed. Pretty much all over the place today. Little sports, little non-sports, little cockfighting. All kinds of stuff. So
a little. Yeah.
Yeah. ATFS, how about the bull run? Humans don't have a chance. But they choose to go out there.
Yeah, those are idiots.
Yeah, well.
We got one in our office.
Yeah,
who does it.
Peter Remington does it every year.
Fool.
Yeah, I'm not going to go out there and run with bulls.
What, are you crazy?
Yeah. I like to go watch because I want to see the bulls gore somebody. So that's why I always, whenever a bull gores a bullfighter, like I'm team bull.
Yeah.
I love seeing that. And it's like, oh, this is so sad. No, it's not.
That person chose.
Exactly. And you know what? The bull won. And that bull, if he wins, they shouldn't kill him. They should retire him and let him have sex with a bunch of cows.
I like when in a rodeo, when the bull rider gets bucked off, and then that bull just starts going kicking everybody's ass. Like, that's an exciting part of the rodeo to me.
Might ask, do y'all still do business with China Garden? Wife wants some huge egg rolls. Where is it located? In fact, I went there for lunch today. Saw Carol.
We don't do business with them anymore, but I still recommend them.
Yeah, they still have occasional commercials.
And it's right there by
the parking lot. It's right across the street from the parking lot for Toyota Center.
Yeah, so the Tundra Garage is right in between China Garden and Toyota Center.
Yeah, and it's right on Leland. So, yeah. And I highly recommend it. I actually went there and had the spicy chicken today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Carol.
How ironic.
And saw Carol there. So, yeah, I eat there all the time. Usually if I have a business lunch, that's always where I do it, mainly because you can park. There's not many places downtown where you can actually park, so if I have to meet somebody, that's a good place to do it because I can just park there. 713-780-ESPN. Of course, everybody bringing up the Arian Foster versus the Wolf. I would have paid to see that.
Aaron Foster didn't want any of that wolf heat. He was just talking because he knew it wasn't a real possibility.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it depends on the wolf. Like a smaller wolf, but those big ones.
A full-grown wolf?
Yeah, like a dire wolf, not a chance. Not a chance. Although wolves tend to, you know, they tend to beat people up as a group. They kind of cheat.
Well, listen.
So, I mean, one-on-one, who knows?
That's cheap, but like, humans use guns to kill animals. Seems like a fair fight if a couple wolves beat up a human. It's not like they can use guns. As Arian points out, they don't have opposable thumbs.
So you're saying we're not allowed to have guns to shoot animals?
No, I'm just saying.
You don't think it's fair?
I'm saying it's as fair as multiple wolves beating up a person.
Fine. All right, what about a person with a gun?
Multiple wolves against that guy?
Yeah.
That's fair.
Okay.
Yeah, give him a rifle, lock him in a 10x10 room with three wolves.
No, 6 wolves.
Six wolves? All right.
And you get six bullets. Now I think we're on to something.
Okay.
I'm liking this.
But you can't be an automatic rifle. It's got to be like single-shot, bolt action.
Right. And you get six bullets.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I think we can make this happen. We probably can't do this in the United States.
No.
We're probably going to have to film it in
Costa Rica or something like that.
Well, Puerto Rico, cockfighting is still legal, I'm told, from several people.
Well, the Dominican it is.
Okay. So I'm sure if that's legal, then, you know, wolf in a cage.
Yeah.
We could do that.
I mean, I would hope. Are wolves native to Puerto Rico? I don't think so.
No, probably not. I may have to use coyotes.
We're going to import wolves?
Well, yeah, of course we import them.
Well, I'm not carrying them.
Well, we'd pay somebody for that. Come on.
Okay. All right.
We're not going to handle the wolves. So.
My favorite thing about the racetrack is people yelling at televisions. My least favorite thing about the racetrack is the urinals are, there's two, and then there's a divider, and then there's two, and then there's a divider. And the last two times I've been here, I've been peeing, and the entire thing's wide open. There's like 10 urinals. And someone always comes and stands at the urinal right next to me, inside the same divider range of me. I don't, like, most men fully, they support that rule that, like, hey, if there's a possibility of leaving a urinal between you and another man peeing, you do it. Don't ever go right next to him if there's a third urinal. And that,
in this case, there's more than a third one.
There's 10.
Yeah.
But that rule's just being violated left and right at this racetrack. I'm not going to lie. This is twice it's happened to me.
No, that's why I just use it. I go in the stall so that I don't have to. That doesn't happen
to me. Probably
a
good move.
Yeah. Because that happens all the time.
The stalls all have their own separators.
Yes.
All their own dividers.
And doors. Yeah. So, you know, you get some privacy in there.
Yeah.
And that's how you avoid the guys who just, I think they just want to peek.
Maybe so.
That's why they do it. So.
As one of the Bernie Sanders chicks told me today, I'm quite the looker, so it's possible.
Well, we're not talking about your face.
Oh, that's true. I am better looking when my pants are off.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm glad you stirred those people up. I've been kind of going, you know what, it was number two trending, it's now number four trending in Houston. Hot girls for Bernie.
Well, it's a big deal.
I think you made it
trend. Sweeping the nation.
Apparently, Rogan is also trending. Joe Rogan says he'll probably vote for Bernie Sanders. Terry Crews defends America's Got Talent.
Oh.
What was that about?
I don't know. That show's gone into the tank. I used to like that show when Howard was on it. And now when the Regurgitator was on, that was a great talent. Now they're going back. They're going to like recycling guys who have already done the show. Like they ran out of people. It's just in the show.
So America doesn't have that much talent, is what you're telling me.
No, and most of the people who were really talented weren't Americans anyway. And one time, a bunch of dogs won. Like,
were they American dogs at least?
I don't think so.
Well, that doesn't count. How dare you?
So just a bunch of trained dogs were the most talented thing on the show. Like, at that point, you should probably just stop having a talent show. When the guy who could swallow five pennies and regurgitate them in the order that that you asked him to, or he could swallow a key and a lock, a closed lock with a ring on it, he could move his stomach around, unlock the lock, take the ring out, and then he'd say, do you want the ring or the key or the lock first? And he'd hack it up. That guy was talent, and he didn't win. That whole show was a sham ever since then.
Yeah, I haven't heard you talk about it, so I guess that turns you off.
It turned me off. That guy came on our show, if you remember.
Yeah, yeah. Hell of
very famous.
Hell of an illusionist.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. You're not a believer. That's all right.
No, I'm not. I'm not. You call me a. I admire good illusionists.
It's not illusion.
That's a positive.
It's got a magical stomach.
Number one trending, Star Trek. It says trending with U.S. Space Force.
Yeah, because the Space Force logo is basically a direct ripoff of a Star Trek Enterprise logo.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, Twitter's pretty predictable.
Yeah. Did you see what Patrick Creighton tweeted at us? Him watching the running of the Bulls and the dumbass gets the horns?
No.
Just says gore, gore, gore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely for that. And even if I know you, I'm going to laugh. If the Bull wins, I'm always Team Bull. Oh, well. I always like it when the animals fight back and win. Like if somebody's in the wild, like, you know, if a hunter's gun jams and he gets eaten, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Happens. So. Happens to the best of us.
Somebody mentioned Liam Neeson in the gray when he beat that one with broken shot bottles, but I don't like Foster's chances.
No, I don't either.
And if I recall...
And Liam Neeson has a special set of skills.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people forget that.
So...
What about Leonardo DiCaprio in what was that movie called?
Oh,
The Reverend?
Yeah, The Reverend.
The Reverend.
Yeah.
Revenant.
Revenant,
no,
yeah.
Was it? What was it called?
Revenant.
It was Revenant. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That bear beat his ass.
Yeah, I don't know how he... Spoiler alert, I don't know how he made that. Made it out of there alive.
Yeah. Yeah, spoiler alert, the bear wins.
It's not worth watching that whole movie just to see the bear win, though.
Yeah, just watch that
movie.
Fight.
That movie was awful.
You didn't like that movie?
No.
I liked that movie.
It was long.
It was too long, but I liked it.
And it dragged. Yeah.
Although I usually don't like movies where the characters have really bad teeth. That turns me off on a movie. And The Revenant did have that.
Yeah.
But overall, I thought it was a pretty good movie.
I found it really boring.
But I also like movies about animals attacking people.
Okay.
That part was really good.
Oh, you know what I finally started that you'll be pleased to hear? I started rewatching Peaky Blinders again.
All right.
To give it another chance. And
by order of the...
Yeah.
Did you like it? How far in are you?
I'm season one, episode three.
Okay.
So
you'll be in soon. It's a good show.
Yeah, it hasn't spit me out this time. And I understand them better than the first time I tried to watch it.
I have
it.
To watch it with subtitles. They talk too crazy.
Yeah.
But
I think it's from, I don't know, but I didn't need the subtitles. I have been watching it. So
you're watching without subtitles?
Yeah.
Oh, you're cultured.
No, I'm not cultured. But last time I couldn't understand
You speak
them.
Foreign languages. I don't.
Well, all right. Quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Sam Houston Race Park. First post is 25 minutes away. 50-cent beer is flowing. Got my bet down on the first race, so we'll talk some more gambling with... The legend that is RJ Bell, pregame.com. And do we have the whole crew today? Fezzik and Powers, too?
Always, baby, always. We're getting ready for it's almost like the Clampets are going to Miami.
Are you guys excited for the trip? Has Brad ever been to the big city before?
Yeah, well, he is in Vegas now, so.
Jeez.
Now, I think one time they brought him in, there was a cracker barrel in Cleveland they brought him to for his 16th birthday, right?
That's a good time.
It might have been the case. I don't, Cracker Barrel was pretty fancy.
I was a Ponderosa guy. And let me tell you something. Here's what I used to do. You know, I was a youngster at this point. Take the girlfriend to Ponderosa. They gave you the steak. And the buffet. Now, the buffet wasn't a true buffet. It was a glorified salad bar.
Yep.
But they had chicken wings. So that was enough for me. So what we would do is go get the steak, add the salad bar for like $2.50. Steak was like $8. Get one soda, unlimited refills, and just eat from that. So she had the steak and potato. Who could complain?
Yep.
I had a bunch of chicken wings and some salad. And we drank all the soda we wanted. Got out of there, $11 plus tip, you know, $12.
And this relationship lasted how long?
Usually, almost all my relationships prior to my marriage were 2.5 years.
Oh, like, okay.
For whatever reason.
Oh, that's good.
That's a good run. If you're like I can't. Yeah. Nowadays, at least when I was in high school, if I took a kid out or a date out to a restaurant and I said, "Hey,
what
let's share
name?
A meal," there was a handful of them. So it was a Chuck, there was a Phil, but
a Chad,
yeah, all of them. When I would say, "Hey, let's share this meal," usually there wouldn't be a second date.
Well, you want to hear a funny story, and this one is good. So I moved to Vegas when I was 27, 28, right? And I was just turning. And I've always had a youthful look about me. I could pass for, you know, college, no problem. So I spent like 3 or 4 years running around UNLV like I was in college. And it was fun. But at one point, I was reaching the end of that, right? I was like 32, and I was like, okay, now, you know, I got to wear a ball cap, you know. But there was an 18-year-old girl just graduated high school that was going to Colorado State, and we just had a connection, we'll call it. So we hung out maybe 3 or 4 times before she left. Well, one of the times I took her to the Sunset Station buffet. Now, once again, that's where we ate, AJ. So Sunset Station, a night, and this has been, you know, 10 plus years ago. Nice place.
You took me on a date there.
Well, no. That was called a business meeting.
Oh, okay.
But I did eat 2.5 meals that day. But here's the thing, though. That meal. Here's the thing. I had a 2-for-1 buffet.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if somehow she would have been happier if I paid more for the same freaking food. So she didn't say anything. She ate, and she ate. All right? I don't know. She came back for Thanksgiving, and somehow I didn't get to see her. And she was so mad. So, like, December 10th or something, she called, drunk, dialed me. It's back when there was, like, the old-school answer machines. She starts screaming. She goes, "I'm sick of you. I'm never going to talk to you again, blah, blah, blah." And she goes, and finally, you can take that 2-for-1 buffet at Sunset Station and shove it up your, you know what. So she had been holding on to that.
Wow.
For, like, 6 months. And she ate a lot.
I'm not sure
why.
Big girls gotta eat too.
Now, I will say this. Whenever I start a relationship and I get a sense, and I did this with the wife, I did this with the one prior, I always am very frugal at the beginning. Because if they have a problem with that,
they're in it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. Now, listen, if you know it's a short-term thing, then you take out the money. So this is for the kids out there, because you don't have any long-term concerns. So if you're buying yourself a little affection, but indirectly, hey, that's life, right? But if you're looking for more, then you got to find out their character when it comes to money right away. Steve?
This is strong advantage play advice. I got it. I fully endorse it.
There you go.
Well, guys, we haven't talked since the Super Bowl has been set. So the numbers, I don't think it was any real surprise that the Chiefs opened up 1.5 favorite. I think that was kind of the general expectation. There was a lot of movement on the total initially. Do you think the numbers that we're at now is kind of where things are settling in, and should we expect any more movement closer to kickoff time?
Faz and I have a disagreement on this one. So we won't tell you guys which. So here's the over-under. The over-under is -1, -110. Would you guys go Kansas City over? So it's -2, minus whatever. -1, -115 would be over. Or would you take -1, -105, the under?
So do I think it's more likely to finish minus?
Yeah, so let's say above -1, Kansas City flat, you know, -1 flat, or below -1.
I think I think it finishes a little more to the Chiefs side. So I think it finishes like in that -1.5 to -1 with a 110.
Or a little extra big, yeah.
Yeah.
Freddie, what do you think?
I tend to agree. I'm with AJ on this one.
Well, you guys are on the right side. RJ agrees. Now, Fez, make your case.
My case is the Denver-Seattle.
Well, you don't seem very confident.
Well, the leading indicators, as we discussed already, were have strongly say, hey, money's coming in on Kansas City and its numbers going up. And I, while I agree with that initially, I really think on game day, I've seen this movie before, that the team that has the better defense gets tremendous support from the betting syndicates, and they'll back the team with the better defense. We saw that where Seattle and the sharp books.
So this is the first time I've heard this better defense. I get to back the underdog, but the better defense, what? I mean, you're just making that up.
44-9 straight up.
Is what?
The team with the better defense, 44-9 straight up.
And this is by...
just total defense, that advanced metric called total defense.
So this is yards.
Yes.
Okay. So really effectively what you're saying is a fast-paced team, I mean, this is like a stat from the 70s.
Yeah.
So why are you using it? Because the other stat doesn't back you up.
I don't know. That was just the stat that Fez is using, not me. I just
yeah. I was going to say, did you drag Brad into this, Fez?
Yeah. Well, he's the one quoting it.
Brad, you be quiet. I'm going to use a game example. So the Denver-Seattle game.
But I want to hear about that stat. Did you? Is this one you just read somewhere and you threw it in? Or is this one where you actually looked at some efficiency stats on defense and it didn't back?
I did not look at the efficiency stats, but I know that my experience has been that when it's Sunday, on Super Bowl Sunday, the betting markets, you see an influx of money on a team that has the better defense. We saw it. I'll give examples. We saw it when Carolina was playing the Denver Broncos. Money last minute came in on Denver Broncos, and we saw Seattle close the favorite against Denver at the sharp books, despite Peyton Manning having an MVP season.
I mean, how many years back are you going to go to come up with an example that fits your framework? I mean, think about that. That's like me saying, you know, home field doesn't matter because let's just think back to when Green Bay ran through in 2010. It's like, why is that year the year?
Well, I do think that the Seattle Super Bowl against Denver does have a lot of parallels.
Really? Seattle Super Bowl against Denver.
Because Denver, Peyton Manning was so good that year, and Mahomes is so good with Kansas City.
Well, it's not like Russell Wilson was a scrub.
Yeah.
But everyone was talking about, oh, Denver, they're going to bet that one up to three.
I mean, that was a matchup.
And then the money reversed.
That was arguably a matchup of the two best quarterbacks in the league. This is basically Patrick Mahomes versus handsome Eli Manning is what it is.
Ooh. I hadn't heard that one before. Now, you guys know that Fez and Jimmy G have...
I know. Well, there's some things going on there.
No, we all do.
I love Jimmy G.
I hate the end of that drop. It's like it's
so disturbing.
It's got
a register in his voice.
Gee, it's like Jimmy G should really like call somebody about that. It's terrifying.
Well, Fez is already saying he's going to try to track him down in Miami.
Oh boy, he needs an extra security crew. But yeah, I don't see that. I don't see the parallels between the Denver-Seattle Super Bowl because those two quarterbacks, I mean, it was really like a future versus the, you know, like a passing of the torch Super Bowl. I don't think this is that by any stretch.
To me, the story of that Super Bowl was Seattle's defense was another level that we didn't understand, right? Because remember, at the time it was... And it was almost a pick'em game, and there probably was a little premium on Peyton. But all-time season for Peyton, Denver had a heck of a defense, right? Russell younger, so advantage Denver on offense, but by, you know, an inch or whatever, a little bit. And then the theory was Seattle's defense was a little bit better than Denver, but ultimately Seattle's defense dominated the game.
Yes.
Well, I mean, this idea that defense is the key in 2020, I just don't see it. Though last year's Super Bowl, you can say that, obviously, right? But think about Philly, New England.
Yeah. Well, Atlanta, right? New England.
Yeah, it's like, but you know what's beautiful? Fez is brilliant at this. I'm good at this. And we disagree, right? Because if there was always these obvious answers, it'd be boring. Right? Here's another one, AJ. AJ's a very logical guy, I think, and Fred, too. Though AJ, I think, is more deliberate about spelling out, like he took a symbolic logic class in college or something. Well, Fred's just got that natural, like, street smart. He just sees the angle. So I can see why they're a good team, actually. But not only are they both very good broadcasters too. Whenever Fred talks, actually, he doesn't talk as much on our segment.
Fred actually stepped away for a moment.
No, it's just you guys always. AJ always jumps in before I can say anything. So, yeah.
You know, I got a draw for Fred here. This actually, I might start using this.
Freddy the Beetle Bond.
Play that one again.
Freddy the Beetle. Say it again.
Play that one again.
Here it is. The millions in Houston listening.
Freddy the Beetle Bond.
Freddy the what?
That's what John that McLaughlin. The original McLaughlin group had a guy named Freddy the Beetle Barnes. And it was a famous, like, when McLaughlin would turn and ask, like, you know, who's going to win this, you know, this 88 election? He's like, Freddy the Beetle Barnes. And that was one of the particularly good drops. So when people ask, when I ask someone a question and I say, what do you guys think? And there's dead air.
Freddy the Beetle Barnes.
It's like asking. I'm hoping there's someone else there to answer, but there's not, guys.
That is
there's
an obscure find, RJ.
Yeah, no
obscure
kidding.
Find.
That's what I do. That's what I do. Now, here's my question. Jimmy G, again, Fez is on this, over under passing yards. So I know there's been some disparity on the numbers. What number are you using?
240.
Okay. So, AJ, here's the question. If you could make a bet that Kansas City or that San Francisco, no, Kansas City wins the game. All right. So the bet does it's an over under passing yards for Jimmy G, but it only applies if Kansas City wins. Would you go over or under 240?
Over.
And the rationale being?
If Kansas City wins, it means San Francisco is chasing. Just like when the Ravens, when they lost to the Titans, the Ravens didn't want to play a game where Lamar Jackson threw the ball 40 times for 300 yards. That's not the kind of game they want to play. It's obviously not the kind of game the 49ers want to play. So if Jimmy G's had to throw that much, it tells me that things are not going the 49ers' way.
Freddy the Beetle Bond.
Is that agreement?
Brad? I was asking.
Oh, you're
Fred.
Asking for Fred. Oh. Yeah, you missed your drop.
Yeah, I like the over 240 anyway because I do think that they're going to have to throw the ball to keep up with Kansas City, and so I like that number.
Even
without Kansas City winning necessarily.
So Fez, you like the under? Make your case.
Yeah. So Jimmy G averaged 250 during the regular season. All he's had to do is hand the ball off. He's averaging 104 during the playoffs. There's been a fundamental shift in San Francisco with what they're doing, and they're emphasizing the run. Against Green Bay, they said, we're going to keep running it till Green Bay can stop it. Well, I'm not confident that Kansas City. So more of the same, RJ. The hip, more of the same. I expect San Francisco to pound the rock and to try to exploit the Kansas City rush defense.
But again, my guess is, this is what's – yes.
Oh, okay. My guess is that, you know, there's a difference between running it at will against Green Bay, who's really even worse at stopping the run than the Chiefs. And I'll admit the Chiefs are not good at stopping the run. The difference is the Packers have 20-20 Aaron Rodgers – and the Chiefs have 20-20 Patrick Mahomes. So if you get a nice grinding, you know, 85-yard touchdown drive against the Packers, I mean, it's a coin flip if Aaron Rodgers is going to go down and score. You get one of those big, long drives against the Chiefs, they're going to score in 3 minutes, and then you're going to have to do it again and again and again. I just don't know that that's a recipe to winning the game for the 49ers.
I agree. Tennessee – oh, I'm sorry, Freddie.
No, I was just going to say the Chiefs – run defense has been significantly better over the last month as well. So they did a nice job against Derrick Henry.
For sure. And here's the thing. Tennessee ran the ball about as well. I know Henry's game stats weren't great. Let's say this. Tennessee controlled the ball and scored about as well as you could have hoped the first half against Kansas City. Right?
17 points, absolutely.
And, I mean, and there weren't a lot of possessions.
No.
And it was just like playing tennis against a brick wall, right? You can make a couple good diving shots, and then you got to do it again and again. And I don't think any running team – and, guys, I asked the crew this. I'm going to ask you because I want the answer. What's the last super elite offense? And let's take Baltimore out because Baltimore potentially was exposed here. Maybe so, maybe not. Let's call that the aberration for now. But in the last 10 years, what has been a super elite offense that's been run-based?
Ooh.
Meaning the best running offenses are not as good as the best passing offenses.
Oh, certainly not. Yeah. I mean, not in this era.
So how you're saying San Fran runs as well as anyone. Let's agree with you. Kansas City throws as well as anyone. That means Kansas City's going to have – or San Fran at some point is going to have to throw or they're going to lose.
Yes.
Okay. So what's this scenario that they pound the rock because Green Bay was giving up 8 yards of freaking rush?
I don't anticipate that they're going to start San Francisco having to throw the ball excessively until the fourth quarter, even if they get down. Because
this is back.
I still think it's a spectrum. We talked about this. San Francisco can win the game. They can lose by 1 to 7 points. If they get down 10, obviously I'm in trouble big time.
Now, I will say this. Brad has really identified to me a couple of key spots where as much as in the Green Bay game, there was no place they should have ran San Fran. There's been games and, even before the playoffs where Jimmy G should have been throwing and Shanahan was protecting him in a way that felt unnatural.
Yeah, it will certainly felt that way to start off the second half of the Minnesota game, tight game, 14-10, and it was coming right after Jimmy G threw a critical interception at the end of the first half. It basically put him under wraps that entire second half against the Vikings.
I will give Shanahan credit because what he's done really is he's adjusted the offense he wants to play to what he's got, but I'm if I were a betting man, I would bet that Kyle Shanahan wishes that he could trust Jimmy Garoppolo the way he trusted Matt Ryan, because that offense that they had with the Falcons is the kind of offense that plays in today's game much more so than what he's got right now. I just think he realizes he doesn't have the weapons to play that kind of game.
And I'll tell you this, I still question this 49er defense, because if you take 9 games, the last 9 of the regular season, the 49ers gave up 26 points a game. That's not average. That's well below average. Now, I get it, right? There's this whole idea of, the linebacker. What's his name?
You got it.
Yeah. How's Alexander's Pro Football Focus grades been?
Poor, in the high 50s, all three games. Both games in the playoffs.
Both games.
Yes.
Okay. So how can a guy come back and be like backup level player and be the difference maker in the defense?
He can't.
Now you speculated, maybe it was a fatigue factor and they finally got the bye and it was better. Green Bay was like an 8-8 type team or a 9-7 type team. And Minnesota played, let's be candid, outside of Cousins, outside that 1 o'clock window, they played like a 9-7 team. It's like San Fran, it's like that Carolina team in a way. Remember when Carolina rolled and rolled? But, again, they were playing great. It seemed they hit the Super Bowl and it was a different story. It doesn't feel like, I know Seattle was the most overrated team in the NFL. Does anyone disagree with that?
No.
All right.
No.
I think Green Bay was probably the second most overrated.
Agreed.
100%.
Right. Now, think about this. Who's the competition in the NFC?
Well, it was the Saints, and they died. Yeah. We said before the playoffs, at least on this show, we said it's the Saints or the 49ers. And when the Saints went out, we basically said the 49ers are walking to this thing. Like, nothing that they can do. I mean, they would have to have just a complete meltdown to not win the NFC after the Saints lost, because I think the Saints were the only team that had a legitimate shot to even play on the same field as them.
I agree with you, but I think it goes beyond that, AJ. I think it has to do with how good the 49ers were or were not during the regular season.
Yeah.
Meaning, they played 2 games against Seattle. the tight game here. And it's like, what does that really mean? Because Seattle wasn't near as good as people think. Mm.
And the Rams weren't as good as people expected them to be.
Exactly.
The Rams were down. The Seahawks were down. So, they played in a division that – on paper going into the season was going to be really strong and ended up being pretty mediocre.
In the first time in Week 12, they dominated Green Bay. That seemed like a great win, but was it?
And turning and looking back on it, not only is Green Bay average, but Green Bay, the mismatch against San Francisco was horrendous, a fundamental mismatch in favor of the Niners.
What the only win, if you take away that Baltimore game, it was a game they lost, but that game impresses me. You go in bad weather, you lose by three against Baltimore. Yeah. Baltimore, the way they were playing, that's a nice win, right? Or really, it's an ATS cover.
Yeah.
Right. So,
but you take that game away, what's San Fran's impressive? Like, I know they had a game here, or they went to Arizona, or whatever, but how impressive?
At New Orleans. And that game could have gone either way in the final seconds.
Yeah, I mean, literally Houston played the same game the Monday night, right?
Yeah,
the opening week, yeah.
So we're saying that San Fran would be about as good as Houston because of that New Orleans game. So I think that Kansas City is a team that the DVOA said eighth best defense. Their D has actually been a little bit better the two playoff games than it was the last six weeks, I think, we were looking at to end the season. If you look at yards per attack, play, right?
Yeah, yes. And it was aberration that the special teams gave up 14 points in the crazy Houston
game. Yeah, so if
Houston
you look
game.
At the per-play basis, Kansas City finished the year, DVOA, last like six games, the eighth best D.
Yes.
And considering level competition, they played better in the playoffs.
Yes.
So they have at least the eighth best defense, and they have the best offense, right?
Yes.
So to me, that team is bulletproof, meaning you can't question how good they are.
You can't. And I've got them rated easily my top team. Easily.
What's your power rating say the line should be between
2.5?
Okay, so my question is, why are you thinking all the San Fran money's coming in?
I'm predicting who people are going to bet.
I understand why, but the people going to bet, we know the public's going to bet Kansas City. You're predicting who the $1 million bet or the $100,000 bettors are going to bet. You think they're so stupid they don't understand what
yes.
I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, all those $100,000 bettors.
Oh, they made, well, these syndicates have made plenty of bad bets on
but they don't, but they,
before.
Well, yeah, everyone makes bad bets, and you don't even know if they're bad bets or not, the bad results, but they don't make predictably bad bets.
Mm.
Right, you're the one that worships at the altar of closing line value,
CLV,
right?
Too much so.
Okay, but that who's dictating the closing line?
the biggest bettors,
guys. I've done my job here. I mean,
circle gets the square.
Oh my god, hey, that's pretty good. Hey, I love it. You guys aren't going to be down there, huh?
We won't be down there. I had one more question before we let you guys go, and I guess this is a
you know, unfortunately, I'll let these boys
I got
stay.
It, RJ.
I've got that other hit.
Thank you, RJ. Fez, a question for you. If you like the 49ers to win, do you think that Mostert as an MVP is a good value play? Because it seems like if the way you're making it sound, if the 49ers have their way, they're going to pound the rock. Do you think that makes for a good bet on Mostert?
I don't think so, and here's why. Mostert's over-under on rush yards is right around 80 right now. For him to get the MVP, I think he'd have to go for 120 or more, and Jimmy G would have to have a mediocre game. So if you figure, well, what's the probabilities of both those outcomes occurring? Well, yes, San Francisco has to win as well. I think that Mostert's chances of winning the MVP are much more like 1/6 versus 1/4.
All right. That's Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers, RJ Bell. Appreciate the time as always, guys. And we'll talk to you boys next week right before the Super Bowl.
All right. Sounds good. Take care, guys.
All right. All right.
Quick break. One last segment to go. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans. And you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. One last segment from Sam Houston Race Park. First race in the books. This, one of the weird things about this place is that the jockeys have to walk through where the fans are. That's not something that You see it a lot of places.
Claire, our promo girl, is really into these tiny little men. She's like, she's in on them.
Oh, there's tiny little women too. So
yeah, you know,
she's got plenty to choose from. So. Hey, let's knock out stupid stuff.
Wait, are you telling me something about Claire?
We've said this week. Obviously, you win a championship, great, but it looks like it's going to be a totally new looking team next year. It's going to be Cajun Cookie Monster and a bunch of new pieces around him. I'll be here on Wednesday.
No, you won't. You'll be at Twin Peaks on Wednesday.
Oh yeah, no, I'll be at tight ends
on Wednesday. Yeah, tight ends.
Tight ends in Webster. So
in Webster. Well, so we'll be there. Sam Houston on
League
Friday.
City.
League City.
What's the difference?
League City.
It's League City.
Webster's up. Before you get to NASA.
Yeah, Webster people are snotty about League City. I don't know why.
Oh. I call everything that goes on between here and Galveston, Webster.
I was a professor once.
I remember.
I'll tell you what I didn't do.
I didn't bang students.
Crickets. I didn't get grant money. Okay.
Sunday, February 16th, out at the brewery. Going to kick off rodeo season right with the third annual Rodeo Clown Roundup concert. The lineup is blueberry. How about blackberry smoke? Blueberry smoke probably be good, too. I think that's a strand of marijuana. I'm not sure.
Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah. Oh, that's all we need is The Rock as like an ex-soldier.
Haven't seen that. Haven't seen that one before, have we?
Never seen that. Maybe they'll hand him a board.
What would the burner handle for 610 account be? Arkansas Milk 123.
Like they were talking about a potential extension.
Did they ever take you? What's your strip club down there in by Lamarck down there?
Oh, are you talking about the ones up on the way to Galveston?
Yeah.
Like Dimitri's and all those places?
Yeah. Did they ever take you there after the game?
I will admit to having been there once, maybe twice.
As a youngster?
Old enough to be there, barely.
Oh, okay.
Well, once with a fake ID.
No, I want the coach of the Little League team to take
me. Oh, no, the coach didn't
take that to me.
The coach was my dad.
That's a story.
On my team.
My dad would have done that.
I'll be honest, if I was like the brand manager for Corona, I wouldn't be exactly happy about coronavirus.
Yeah.
Like imagine Tony Romo trying to hawk beer and then he just dies on the beach. A snake comes out of his mouth.
Every time someone gets a coronavirus, a Corona gets its lime.
Number 115 out of 115, Louisiana Monroe. 6.7 million.
Golly.
David Gao should buy Louisiana Monroe.
What would we do with Louisiana Monroe?
We'd call it Louisiana Monroe Map.
Probably so.
Yeah. Stupid stuff. We've said
this week.
Oh, man. Fun week, but I'm glad it's over. We'll be back on Monday, though, back in studio. It'll be Super Bowl week, so we'll start diving into that and all the stories that don't happen Super Bowl week. All right.
I'm going to go home and sweat Yale basketball, so... It's one of those nights.
Good luck with that.
Thank you. I'll need it.
All right. Great job, Aaron. Great job, Tyler, as always. Great job, Hoffman. That was average today, which...
Tremendous.
Considering the how I've done this week, this is about as good as you could expect.
Shout out to Hot Girls for Bernie.
Yeah, and Hot Girls at the track.
Yeah.
Till Monday, stay sportsy, bitches.